Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported a single-day high new COVID-19 case count Wednesday with the confirmation of 44 new cases. 25 were Alaska residents, including 6 each in Fairbanks and Anchorage, as well as 3 in Homer, 2 apiece in North Pole and Eagle River, and 1 each in Bethel, the Northern Kenai Peninsula, Palmer, Seward, Valdez, and Wasilla. The total resident case count stands at 816, with 513 recovered. The non-resident case tally climbed to 157 with the addition of 19 new cases, mostly seafood industry workers. The state also said a non-resident case previously assigned to Fairbanks was actually in the Denali Borough, that area's first confirmed case. According to a borough release, a visitor tested positive after arriving in the community. Meanwhile, the Brooks Range community of Anaktuvuk Pass has been closed to outsiders. According to a National Park Service post, the mayor and city council of the village, which is within gates of the Arctic National Park, are not allowing recreational access to their community due to concerns visitors may bring the coronavirus to the remote village. The NPS says its Anaktuvuk Pass Ranger Station will also be closed until further notice, but that backcountry visitors are free to explore other options for accessing the park, which remains open. A new drive-up COVID-19 testing facility is in the works for Fairbanks. Local public health nurses are partnering with Fred Meyer and the Fairbanks North Star Borough on the project. Regional public health nurse Elizabeth Burton says the testing facility will be opening next week to people referred by the Fairbanks Health Center.
We are planning to operate 2 days a week in the parking lot of the Carlson Center. Folks would need to call the Fairbanks Public Health Center at 452-1776 to register. The event is by appointment only.
Burton says the expanded COVID-19 testing came out of a relationship developed with Mark Borer, the district pharmacy practice coordinator for Fred Meyer in Alaska. She says Borer acquired testing kits from Fred Meyer parent company Kroger and arranged to ship them to Fairbanks.
I heard about him through a state connection, and then partly just a matter of educating him about the need in Alaska. I don't think he was really aware. Kind of surprised. But then, you know, he took on a personal interest in something that he hasn't done before.
Burton says local volunteers and policing will help move vehicles through the drive-through testing facility safely. Test kits will be analyzed at the State Virology Lab at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Burton says drive-up testing should be available 2 days a week through the summer or until testing supplies run out. High water on interior rivers has flooded some low-lying areas, including in West Fairbanks. Chena Goldstream Fire and Rescue Deputy Chief Keith Berrien says water from the Tanana River inundated some properties in the Rosie Creek area on the west side of town Wednesday into Thursday.
Multiple homes with basements that are flooded, cars and vehicles that are completely underwater. At least one individual driving a car attempted to drive out on their own, completely submerged their car and had to climb out through the window as their car went underwater.
Working with Fairbanks North Star Borough Emergency Operations, Berrien says the department responded to the neighborhood where numerous residents were forced from their homes.
There's been lots and lots of people that are evacuated. There's a lot of damaged houses in there. But the majority of the evacuations have been done by just the neighbors in the area. Multiple large vehicles, a bulldozer bringing people back and forth, small boats and canoes, kayaks. So the neighbors are pretty much helping each other out down there.
With dry weather taking over, National Weather Service meteorologist Christopher Cox says floodwaters are expected to recede.
In general, the rivers are starting to fall. They crested in many locations here on Thursday. And we expect that the rivers will continue to slowly fall through the weekend.
Meanwhile, the Moose Creek Dam is in operation at the Chena Flood Control Project in North Pole. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Alaska District Operations Chief Julie Anderson says the dam has been in operation since yesterday morning when the river's volume approached a trigger level.
Due to the rainfall in the basin from earlier in the week, Two Rivers has been high, and so has Hunts Creek, and that water has come down to the Chena project. So on Thursday at 9 o'clock, we lowered the control works gates so we can impound water in the floodway and limit the amount of water that would be reaching Fairbanks.
Anderson anticipates that the dam will be operated for a couple more days as water from this past week's heavy rains continues to move down drainages.
The Hunts Creek gauge continues to rise, so that means we're going to see water for a while longer. We need to get the Hunts Creek gauge to go kind of down below our operating level of the 7,600 cubic feet per second for maybe a day, and then we'll be done.
It's the third time the Flood Control Project dam has been operated this year. The other two times were during breakup. Raven Air Group says it's received nearly 30 bids to buy the airline or pieces of the airline out of bankruptcy. Alaska Public Media reports that five bidders are interested in buying the company intact. One attorney at the hearing said he worked for a Southern California company, Float Shuttle, that is offered to buy Raven intact. Float Shuttle runs commuter service for Southern California drivers who want to avoid time and traffic by flying. Raven's chief executive said in a prepared statement that the company is optimistic the bids will allow it to exit bankruptcy, rehire its employees, and restart air service. Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz says that the native village of Aklutna should decide the fate of the Captain Cook statue in downtown Anchorage. Alaska Public Media reports that in the midst of worldwide calls for racial equity, an online petition for the removal of the Cook statue has gathered nearly 3,000 signatures. This week, at a meeting of Anchorage's Sister Cities Commission, Mayor Berkowitz said that the decision was not one the city should make.
The government-to-government relationship that exists between the municipality of Anchorage and the native village of Aklutna is the appropriate way to ensure that this discussion takes place in a way that respects the sovereign authority of the native village.
British Captain James Cook spent a total of about 2 weeks in the area that is now called Cook Inlet and never set foot on land. His crew planted a British flag on the Kenai Peninsula. The statue was a gift from BP in Anchorage's sister city, Whitby, England, where Cook learned to sail. It was installed in 1976. All of the over one dozen public attendees who testified at the meeting spoke in favor of removal of the Cook statue. Christina Edwin, a community organizer from Anchorage, said that it was unfair to put the responsibility of making a decision about the fate of the statue onto one tribe.
The systemic changes we want need to be done in a matter of real actions, not just, oh, I talked to this one person or this one tribe and now it's going to be all done.
Aaron Leggett, president of the Native Village of Aklutna, said that he was supportive of the mayor's move to give the decision to his tribe, but he said in a phone call prior to the meeting that he didn't support removal of the statue.
The reason why I'm not in favor of getting rid of the statue is that it has been and will continue to be a magnet for tourists, and if they're drawn to it and then they can learn, oh, wow, I didn't realize that the Cook story is much more complicated than I thought, then maybe I can create some educational opportunities.
Leggett said he hopes to see the process of ending the colonial legacy continue over coming years. I'm Dan Bross.